in a village of La Mancha, whose name I have no wish to recall, there lived not too long ago one of those gentlemen who always keep an old lance by the door, a skinny nag in the paddock, and little more on the plate, day in and day out, than lentils and scraps. With him lived his housekeeper and his niece, who together looked after his affairs, for if the truth be known, this gentleman, whose name may have been Alonso Quijana, or perhaps Quesada, paid little attention to practical matters. He spent his idle time, of which he had a great deal, locked in his study reading books of chivalry. At the end of each day, Quijana and his dear friends, the village curate and barber, sat around a flask of wine, and as the evening grew cool, lamented the death of knight-errantry. But, to the dismay of his friends, whose interest in this matter was purely fanciful, Quijana so immersed himself in these tales of enchantments, battles, challenges, quests, and a thousand other impossible things, that from so little sleep and so much reading, his brain dried up and he lost his wits. Now there dawned on him as strange an idea as ever occurred to a madman, that he himself, at the age of 50, should become a knight-errant and roam the world on horseback in search of adventures. Early one morning, without telling a soul, he set out from the village mounted on his skinny nag and dressed in a suit of rusty armor. For 2 days, not so much as a whisker was seen of him. But on the evening of the 3rd day...
Father Pera Perez! Father Perez!
Maria, what is it? Ah, you found him.
Oh, he's returned.
He's home again, yes. But for the life of me, he's not returned.
Now, in heaven's name, Maria.
The body's back, but the mind is missing. It's those books again.
When did he arrive?
This very hour. Shamefully, on the back of a donkey.
Oh, no.
Oh, you should see him, Father Perez, bruised and battered to within an inch of his life.
Oh, Lord.
I've never seen a man so black and blue.
Yeah.
And, Father, the way he
talks. Well, what does he say?
Oh, he goes on so I don't understand the half of it. But when we asked him how he came to injure himself, he says, giants, says he. He took a great fall from his horse, battling 10 godless giants.
Oh, so now there are giants in the dance. It's worse and worse.
And worse. Hmm. He insists his name is no longer Alonso Quijana, but Quixote of all things. Don Quixote de la Mancha.
De la Mancha.
A knight-errant, he says.
Oh, no.
And when his niece tried to convince him otherwise, he simply replied, I know who I am and who I may be if I choose.
Oh, dear.
Oh, only those damnable books of his had never been written.
Yeah.
A curse. A thousand curses on every book of chivalry. Oh, will you come, Father?
Of course, Maria. You go on ahead, and I'll stop and fetch our friend, Master Nicholas.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you.
Yes, now run along, and I'll be there soon.
In all the world, each as tall as a castle tower. Oh, gently, gently, wise Organa.
There, there. Do you not recognize me, Uncle? I am not Organa, but your niece, Antonia.
I would have prevailed had not Rocinante, my gallant steed, stumbled in the midst of combat. A bit more carefully, Urganda. Even so, Don Quixote de la Mancha surpasses in bravery not only the 9 worthies, but also the 12 peers of France. Their exploits, taken singly or all together, cannot begin to compare with my...
I'm sure it's true, Master, but lay down your sword. Let go of your shield.
What do you say, woman? Lay them down.
Dear Uncle, you are unwell. Your bruises are fresh. You require rest.
Good Urganda, know that neither rest nor sleep much behooves a knight errant. Often for weeks or months on end he must remain in the saddle, never dismounting ever in
hand. Yes, yes, that may be, master. But isn't it also said a man's home is his castle?
Yeah.
And in his castle a man may rest if it pleases him. Mm.
Keeper speaks the truth, Alonso.
Oh, welcome,
Oh, my dear friends. You are most welcome. I have been expecting you.
You have? Nicholas, shh.
Indeed, and by your faces, I think you come bearing news.
News?
You may speak freely, my friend. Do you bring word of my lady?
Of who?
Do not toy with me, friend Barber. Of course you know I speak of Dulcinea del Toboso, in whose dulcet name I have performed, am performing, and will perform deeds greater than any in the history of chivalry.
Oh, dear, you can see for yourself how he goes on.
Don Quixana, Quixote, it is true we bring word of your lady Dulcinea de Toboso.
Del Toboso, sir.
We do?
Shh.
Del Toboso.
Mm-hmm.
And she beseeched. Yes.
Beseeched? Oh, nay, she must not beseech.
Well, then requested.
Nay, she must not request, knowing I have no choice in the matter.
Well, commanded?
Commanded. Oh. Her word is law. Her tone, grace. I cannot but obey.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, then she commanded.
And was she kind?
Oh, she was very kind.
And gentle?
Yes, exceedingly gentle.
Her eyes betrayed no hidden reproach.
No, not at all. Not at all. She was kind, and gentle.
Oh, this good news cheers and soothes me, my friends.
And now, Uncle, will you go to bed?
Yes.
The very thought of her is rest enough. Ah, Dulcinea. Her name alone is a healing potion. I have no need of any other.
Perhaps, my friend, but this was her command, that you should take to your bed and dream of one who loves you.
Were those her words?
Yes, to the letter. No more or less.
Then I am blessed indeed.
Come on, take your sword and shield, master.
By my honor, with them at my bedside and Dulcinea in my dreams, I will sleep more soundly than ever a man has slept.
Please let me help you, master. Here, lean on me. Just
Careful.
Ah, good then. Now he's gone, we may speak freely.
Oh, Father Perez, you are educated, a man of the world.
Yes, my child.
Tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
From what you have seen and heard, do you think my dear uncle mad?
Oh, his madness, I believe, is certain.
And you, Master Nicholas?
Oh, I'm afraid I must agree. Giants as tall as castle towers. No, not the bunch.
Oh, praise the saints for that. Oh, some wine, Father Perez.
Oh, if you would be so kind.
Master Nicholas?
Surely.
Now then, Antonia, have you any idea where your uncle has been?
God only knows. A neighbor of ours, a farmer by the name of Sancho Panza, found him in his present condition, lying in a ditch at the crossroads.
Oh, dear. But Sancho then played our good Samaritan, eh? Do you know him, Nicholas?
Panza? Oh, indeed. A stout heart and a good fellow. Witless, but honest. If you can call a poor man honest, that is.
Honest he may be, but he had the master draped over his grey like a sack of turnips.
Oh, I am to blame for everything.
No, my child.
No, don't tell me otherwise. I saw it coming long ago and humored him, thinking it would pass.
You could not have known it wouldn't. Take heart, Antonia. All is not lost. Maria, a drop more wine.
Oh, yes.
It is delicious. Now, here is my plan. Nicholas, you and Maria must prepare a bonfire in the stable yard.
A bonfire?
Yes.
A bonfire?
Yes. Alonso's madness is caused by his books. If we remove the cause, the effects will cease.
Oh, you mean to burn my uncle's library?
It must be done, and at once, before nightfall.
But what will I say when he rises and finds the shelves bare?
I have thought of everything. While we are tending the fire, I will have two masons I know wall up the door to his study. In his present state, he may forget it even existed. Now, Nicholas, why the long face?
I can't help but feel a bit, well, ashamed.
Ashamed? Whatever for?
To burn a man's books just like that? It doesn't seem right.
Oh.
It's as though we were putting his friends to death.
Well, in a sense we are, but remember, he's mad, Nicholas. He is mad, mad, mad. Mm. Our remedy is extreme, perhaps, but necessary.
Mm-hmm. But to burn his books? I can't help but think of the pleasure they gave him.
Pleasure? Mm. Oh, we are not set on this earth for the sake of pleasure. No. Now, hand them to me one by one so that I can examine each book before consigning it to the flames. There may be some that do not deserve such a fate.
Oh, burn them all, I say.
Ah, Maria Antonia, have you brought them all?
Oh, we have, and good riddance.
All of them.
Those are the last, then. Good, good. You can pile them all there with the rest.
You must not pardon a single volume, for they are all at fault.
Ladies, if I am to be both judge and executioner, in all good conscience, I must look before I condemn. The first book, Nicholas.
Oh, Father, in the name of patience, we'll be here all night.
Here it is, Father Perez. The four books of Amadis of Gaul.
Ah, if my memory is correct, this was the first romance of chivalry ever to be printed in Spain. For spawning such wretched offspring, it should be the first to burn.
On the sins of the children should not be visited on the father's head.
Oh.
Because it is the first and best, it is unique, and should be spared.
Well said, Nicholas. We shall set it aside for now. What is the next book there?
Here it is. The Exploits of Esplandian, son of Amadis of Gaul.
Oh, that one deserves to burn.
Oh, this one's Amadis of Greece. It seems they're all brats of Amadis in this pile.
Oh, to rid the world of these devilish conceits, I would burn my own father if he paraded about as a knight errant.
Oh, I agree with you there.
And I too.
Well, burn them and stop yammering about
it. All right, here it's there. All in the banana. Now, the next stack. And what have we here?
Don Alevante de Laura.
Oh, it's outlandish lies.
Dreams, madness, Italia.
For its dullness.
He's not here, the knight.
Yes, very old and equally obnoxious.
But he is a real fine.
What?
Don Marianis, a fine book?
Why, you must be daft. A worse book has never been written. Like, listen to this. Tell me what you make of it. Ah, here. The reason of the unreason that so afflicts my reason in such a manner weakens my unreason that I with great reason admit of your beauty.
Oh, there. I confess I can make nothing of it whatsoever.
Well, you see, to the fire with it. What is this? It's a copy of Tirant Le Blanc. Oh, that's a masterpiece. That's a treasure of good sense and a mine of enjoyment. I'll set this one aside.
Well, what of these smaller volumes here?
Oh, well, those are poetry, no doubt. You can preserve them without harm.
Oh, but Father Perez, once my uncle is cured of chivalry, well, he might read one of these and take it into his head to become a shepherd.
Oh.
Or worse yet, a poet, which is surely incurable.
Ah, I fear you're right. Yes, we should remove all temptation from his path. Is that the last of them?
One more, La Galatea by Miguel de Cervantes.
Ah, now, wait. Cervantes and I have been friends for many years, and though it is said he is better versed in misfortune than he is fortunate in verse, he is well worth a glance or two. What the devil?
Dear, the master's off again.
He must have found his study.
Or was unable to find it. We must go.
Come
along.
Oh, you are winning the turn. If we lose this tournament to the Knights of the Court, we who call ourselves the 12 Peers are disgraced this day.
Don Quixote, what is lost today may be won again tomorrow.
That's
without
true.
Disgrace. But now you must mind your health, yes. For I can see that you are sorely wounded.
Not wounded, Senor Archbishop, but bruised to a pulp.
Poor master.
I am, however, quite recovered. And who else is there?
Oh, it's...
The wise Urganda. Perhaps, oh. Enchantress, you can tell me where my books have gone.
Nowhere
to be found. And my study as well has vanished without a trace.
Well, perhaps you misplaced them.
Yes. Impossible.
Oh, well, of course.
But... Come into the light.
Oh, well,
yes, you are all covered with soot and ashes.
Oh, dear.
Senor Archbishop?
Yes, well, it's all very simple to explain.
Simple.
Master Nicholas.
We had, certainly,
Anthonia can tell the best.
Oh, yes, it was doubtless the enchanter who came while you were sleeping.
Enchanter?
Yes.
He rode up to the house on a serpent and entered your study.
We tried to stop him.
Oh, how we tried. He remained there an awfully long time, nearly an hour, before he mounted his steed and rode away.
Serpent, you said?
Yes, his serpent.
And did he by chance say his name in passing?
Yes, he called himself Muniaton the Magician. Isn't that what you heard?
Yes, that's right. Muniaton.
Preston, he must have said.
Oh, Preston, Freet, and Flatten. All I know is that it ended with Tone.
Yes. And when he left the house... Oh, it was filled with smoke.
Which, in fact, is why we're all covered with ashes and soot.
You should have woken me. It was madness to pit your strength against one so powerful. He is a crafty enchanter and my greatest enemy. But doubtless he knows that had he more than singed you, I would have plucked out his beard by the roots.
Such gall
to enter the house of Don Quixote de la Mancha when I am asleep and cast his evil spells.
He knows
that in the end, victory will be mine. But he is determined to plague me along the way.
Oh, yes, but, Master, wouldn't it be better to remain here at home and in peace instead of roaming about the world in search of trouble?
Lady, how little is your understanding? How scattered your intellect? Do not speak to me of what you do not know!
In the 2 weeks that followed, Don Quixote remained quietly at home. The curate was pleased with his friend's progress and expressed hopes for his complete recovery. But Don Quixote's rest had only strengthened his resolve. He was no less determined to venture forth as a knight-errant, righting all wrongs and bringing to his name glory and renown. If the curate had no inkling of this, neither did he know that Don Quixote was meeting in secret with that same poor farmer who had first rescued him.
Sancho Panza, do you accept my offer?
I don't rightly know, Your Grace. I mean, if a man had a half a brain, he should jump at the chance of being squire to the greatest knight in Christendom. And though I never was one to cry over spilt milk or to count the egg before it hatched, I am, it may be said, not agreeable with burning all my ridges behind me.
Bridges, you mean to say, Sancho?
How is that?
Burn your bridges behind you.
Oh,
not ridges?
Yes, that's exactly what I don't mean to do. You see, I'm a family man, seeing that I'm married and all.
Friend Sancho? If perchance, in the course of some adventure, an island should be won, a knight-errant such as myself will often leave his squire as governor.
You've mentioned this island several times now, Your Grace, and what I'd like to know is, where is it? How big is it?
Well, I am afraid, Sancho, that until we've won the island, which by the grace of God we shall, I can tell you none of its particulars.
Oh, I suppose it doesn't matter where it is. Your Grace didn't worry his head about the size of it, because the bigger the better.
It may well be that within a week from when we set out, I shall, through glorious combat, win 2, 3, or more kingdoms. And then it will be the easiest thing in the world for me to grant you one of them. It is possible that you will receive much more than I have promised you.
Oh, Your Grace, if by some miracle of which Your Grace speaks, I do become a king, my wife Teresa would be queen, huh? And all the little ones are princesses.
They would indeed, Sancho.
Well, on the other hand, if kingdoms reigned like cats and dogs, none would suit my Teresa. She'd not be worth half a cent as queen. Perhaps, well, countess, but and then again, perhaps.
I am sure that God, in his wisdom, will provide for you both.
Well said, Your Grace. Very well said. Well, I will accept your offer and serve as your squire. Now. You'll have your road soon enough, donkey.
And so the two of them rode away late one night. Don Quixote mounted once again on Rocinante and Sancho Panza on his gray donkey. The knight-errant was gratified in his heart as he thought of the combats he would win and the glory that soon would be his. Sancho, for his part, was also content, for he thought of the island his master had promised him as a certain reward. And by the time the sun rose, they were safely far from the village on the plains of La Mancha.
My lord Don Quixote.
What is it, Sancho?
Begging your pardon, Your Grace, but the sun is up, and we have ridden many leagues already. Wouldn't it be best to stop and refresh ourselves with something to eat?
If you are hungry, Sancho, you have my permission to eat as we ride.
Oh, thank you, my lord, thank you. Would you care to join me? I have here, let me see, I have chicken and cured ham, dried beef, cheese, bread, wine.
At present, Sancho, I am nourished by sweet memory. However, eat and fortify yourself, for I believe that on this plain we will sink our arms to the elbows in adventure. If you please, Sancho, eat with less violence if you can.
I'm sorry, Your Grace, 1,000 pardons. But, you see, I am a poor farmer, and I am not used to the manners of knights and squires.
The limits of your knowledge are becoming clearer. But never fear. I will teach you your duties as we ride. For example, even though I be surrounded by the most extreme danger, you should not lift your sword to defend me.
On my honor, I'll observe that like a Sabbath. What is it, Your Grace?
Look. There, Sancho.
Where?
Fortune smiles on us, my friend. See, there in the distance, more than 30 lawless giants standing at our path. I will do battle with them and deprive them of their lives. And with the spoils from this encounter, we can begin to enrich ourselves.
What giants?
Those before us, flourishing their long arms.
Now look, my lord, those are not giants at all, but windmills. Windmills, yes. And those things that appear to be their arms are merely their sails, which turn in the wind and cause the millstones to go around.
It is quite plain to see that you have no experience in the matter of adventures. It is clear to me that the magician Preston, who robbed me of my books and my study, has just now changed the aspect of these giants into windmills to rob me of the glory of defeating them. But defeat them I will. If you are afraid, Sancho, stand off to one side and say your prayers.
But your grace,
please.
Sinner that I am, what will become of my master now?
Seek not to fly, coward! Vile creatures! I am but one, though you are many! Stand and fight! Though you flourish as many arms as the giant Briareus, I shall prevail! Dulcinea!